Well, glory. Well, let's see where we are here. We've been talking about different things on Wednesday night. A little bit about kind of a little bit more of a boot camp, praise the Lord. You know, in other words, how many know what boot camp is? That means we get a hold of the Word of God, amen? And we take the Word of God to heart. And we were talking last time about a little bit about hearing God's voice, and it's not always what we want to hear. Amen. How many know, you know, we were talking about that his voice isn't always, well, good try, son, good try. Sometimes it's, why did you have no faith? Amen. We found that out in Mark chapter 4. You know, because he said to them, why are you so fearful? They're crossing over. He said, I already said to cross over. Why is it, disciples, I know you're bailing and you're trying so hard, and they wake him up, Jesus, we're going to perish. And he says, he didn't say, hey, you guys are doing all you can, good job. He said, why is it that you have no faith? Where is your faith? You know, and so sometimes what we want to hear from the Lord is not what we always hear. Amen. It's not always fun on our flesh. I'm sure the disciples were like, well, what do you mean, Lord? I mean, we think we're going to perish, but, you know, he does not think defeat thoughts. He doesn't sympathize with them, and he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but he's not moved by them. You see, the Lord wasn't moved by their feelings of their infirmity, even though he was touched by them. Because Jesus believes in victory all the time, every time. He overcame everything that the devil threw at him, and he expects us to overcome when the devil throws things at us. He wants us to rise up, amen? He doesn't want us to cower down in our fleshly life. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. How are we overcoming? You know, he expects us, you know, he says things, he agrees, basically we were saying, God agrees with us when we agree with him. Amen. When we agree with what his word says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He said to the man with the palsy, remember, he's laying there, take up your bed and walk. Well, okay, you know, yes, Lord. And our job is to listen and to obey. And he brings that according to our faith, it is unto us. Many times he says, hey, according to your faith, be it to you. He didn't just assume when the blind men came, you know, they were calling out for him, blind Bartimaeus, and he didn't just assume what they wanted. He said, what do you want? He didn't assume they wanted their eyes healed, and I always think that's very interesting, because God's answer and God's voice to us is not exactly what we always want to hear. Amen. He does love us, and he said he loves us, but he said, we're his sheep, and we can, what, hear his voice, the voice of the enemy or the stranger we're not going to follow. And so he is there and he is coming. Or he has come, and we can, you know, hear his voice. We talked about that last time in John 10:3. He's the good shepherd. Amen. Verse 3 says, to him the porter opens and the sheep hear his voice, and they call his own sheep by name and they lead them out. Verse 4, and when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know the voice of strangers. And John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hallelujah, we know his voice. You're his child. If you're born again, you know his voice. Sometimes it's not always in words, is it? It's just kind of sometimes it's in a knowing. We know what he's saying to us in our heart. We hear it. Just like when your body tells you you're hungry, it doesn't, you know, you don't hear a voice, "You are hungry." You know? Sometimes it seems that way, but I mean, you know, you don't hear a voice coming to you, do you? "You are hungry." No, well, wouldn't you? I just know. My body is telling me. I've lived with myself for as long as I've been alive. And so it tells me. And I've learned where that voice comes from. And we realize, oh, I should eat something because I am hungry. And God calls us. Sometimes he draws us. Anybody ever the Lord draw you to himself? You know, you just get that hunger for the Word of God. You begin to sense he wants you to spend time in his presence. Amen. He draws us. And we really do hear his voice. It is there. It is strong. Sometimes he does use that. And there are other ways he speaks to us too. Sometimes we do hear it as a voice. You know, many times other people may not hear it, but you hear it. I heard it in my spirit. I've heard him say things to me down on the inside. I thought somebody, you know, I'm looking around like somebody just talked to me and nobody's there. But God was there. You know, and sometimes he said, "Now, son," because I'm telling him, "Lord, we've been around the bush." He said, "Now, son, sit down, listen to me." Okay. Yes, sir. This is the way it's going to be. Okay. Here's what's going to happen. You can believe me or not, but this is what I desire to happen for you. This is what's going to happen. Amen. He's proceeded to tell me. I mean, there were several times that I was so disillusioned at one time because, you know, so many people are giving out words of prophecy. You know, this guy is this or that or the other. That I told the Lord, I said, "I don't even want a prophecy unless you tell me. I'm not going to receive it." And he would tell me every time. He said, "Today I have a word for you. I want you to receive it." Okay. All right, Lord. I'll receive it. And, you know, because how many know sometimes people tell you things, it's just not God. And I wasn't that far along in hearing God's voice. I heard him, but, you know, it wasn't as strong as I would like. And most of the time it's to confirm. In the New Testament, when we hear God's voice, it's not so much to get direction from the prophet, but to be confirmed. He confirms what he's already put in your heart. Say, "Oh, that's what I've been thinking about all along. That bears witness with me." And if it doesn't, you need to take it and just set it aside. Put it on the back burner. Put it on the shelf. You know, pray on it and see if God brings anything back to you about it. I mean, you know, somebody called you out. "Well, I believe you're called to the Middle East, brother." Yeah. Have you ever wanted to go to the Middle East? No. You ever been to the Middle East? No. Do you want to go there? No. Double no. Double no, you know. But I do know some people that their heart was to go and God, they were from Hawaii. Her family was from there and they were seeking God and God was speaking to them about going to Hawaii, you know, and everybody's like, you know, and so they were really praying and asking God and God did confirm that for them. Somebody called them out, and "I see you going to Hawaii. This is God." And they told them, "This is God. This is confirmation for you." And it was. Because how many know, you know, you want to go to Hawaii. How many know that, "Oh, yeah, right, God's leading you to Hawaii. Right, brother." You know? You know, you want to be sure. Amen. And God did say, he said, "Make your election and calling sure. Pray on it. Seek God on it." You don't need a confirmation, but if he chooses to give you one, it's always nice. You know, he'll make it clear to you. It may not be somebody calling you out, but you'll know. He's going to make it clear where? Down on the inside of our spirit where God speaks to us. How many know we contact God with what? Our spirit, don't we? We don't contact him really with our mind per se. He speaks to our heart, to our spirit, the inward man. We've talked about that, the hidden man of the heart. The Bible often says where we believe is what in the heart man believes, in the very inside of us. Sometimes our mind doesn't want to agree with what our heart is believing, and we can still receive some things. Amen. Why? Because our mind has to go along. It's either going to go along with our flesh or with the spirit man on us. And we can get our mind, as we get our mind renewed. That's why we renew our mind, what? With the Word of God. And when our heart is believing the Word of God, our mind will come along. Our body will come along. Hallelujah. It likes to give us trouble, and sometimes we do have trouble with that. And so we were talking about that, and Jesus, what does he do? Revelation 3:20 says he stands at the door and knocks. Now, does he knock at the door of the sinner sometimes? Well, mostly he's knocking at the believer here is what he's really talking about. Revelation 3:20. Because he wants to what? Have fellowship with us and sup with us. This is a really good, I really like the first three chapters of Revelation are pretty explanatory, but when we get out in some of these other areas where there's more, what do they call that, more types and more shadows, it's not quite as clear sometimes, and we're still learning, amen? But Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Or I'm going to fellowship with him. I'm going to commune with him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to dine with him, he's saying. Because it is it's a meal when we get the Word of God out. We dine with the Master. Isn't that something? We can actually dine with him every single day. There's the dinner bell now. Hallelujah. Anyway, I don't know why. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come and dine, you know. But that's what he said. The Master's calling. What's that one song? The Master's calling. Come and dine. Come and sup with me and dine with me. Glory to God. So And then if we look over here at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. You know, hearing from God is a learning process sometimes. We begin many times. Hebrews 3:15 is where we're going. But before I get there, many times we sense things, or maybe you don't, but I do. A lot of times we'll send a prayer up to God. Anybody ever done that? You know, you just send a little prayer or something. Maybe you're even frustrated, you know. Lord, you got to do something. You got to help me, whatever you got to do, Lord, you know. I don't know about this situation. We pray about it. We send it to him. And many times, then what? The Lord begins to speak with us about what we have prayed about. And he begins to talk to us some more and sup with us. And we begin to pray some more about it. And we send it back up with the Lord, and he brings back more answers and more understanding in that direction. And a lot of times direction and God speaking to us, it grows in us. In other words, that desire begins to become greater on the inside of us. We have the peace of God. We have the understanding. Oh, okay, Lord, I see that. And it may not be real strong at first, but as we pray about it, as we spend time with him, as we worship him, as we pray in the Holy Ghost, it becomes stronger on the inside of us and grows in us like a tree. That's really the direction of the Lord. But here, Hebrews 3:15, what he says is, "While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." Now, the provocation was under the, you know, when they were there in the wilderness and they hardened their hearts, they didn't enter in because of unbelief. You know, they chose not to. And finally, God says, man, I'm going to have to let all those that are over 20 die off, you know, and then you guys can come up. And he had to raise up a new group of people that would believe because they got stiff-necked and chose not to. And how many know? You could choose not to believe some things and not benefit from God's blessing. I'm not saying they went to hell, but they didn't enter into the promised land, did they? They didn't cross the Jordan. They continued to gripe and complain about every little thing, and they just wouldn't. And finally, you know, it says right here, but with whom was, you know, God was grieved with them 40 years. It wasn't with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, to swear that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that, you know, because they believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So faith has something to do with us walking with God when we do believe him and when we do hear him. We have to add our faith to what he said. You know, when we get his direction, when we get his word, we've got to decide. Am I going to do what God said, or am I going to do what I want to do with my fleshly being? You see, the war that we really have is not so much against the devil. His power was broken. We were translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear light, right? Into his son, the kingdom of his dear son, into light, the kingdom of light. We're now light in this world. We're not of the kingdom of darkness. Satan doesn't have that much power. I mean, think about it. Even in the New Testament, after Acts so much, they didn't even, you know, when they had the question in 1 Corinthians, a guy sleeping with hopefully his stepmother, you know, his father's wife, hopefully his stepmother, you know, we don't know. Probably was, most likely, but I mean, he's busy there. They said they had to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. What? It was a fleshly thing he was involved in. And Satan didn't have full power over him. He wasn't just possessed. He was walking in the flesh. And he had to be turned over to Satan. If Satan had all that power, why'd they have to turn him over to him? No, he didn't. He was protected by God, and they turned him over that his flesh may be destroyed so that he would what? Repent and turn his heart to God and really be born again, truly serve God. You know, that was a problem they were having in that church. But anyway, while it is today, if you hear his voice, harden not our heart as they did in the provocation. In other words, we could, anybody ever heard God? You know, and maybe you didn't obey the first time you heard God. Anybody hear it all besides me? I'll put my hand up. You know, yes, Lord, I heard you, you know. And so you thought he'd forget about it. Anybody ever thought maybe God will forget about what he said? And you go back to prayer, and what does he do? He brings back the last thing he told you. Well, I don't know, Lord, I want to do that, but I don't know, Lord, if you could, okay, all right, if you help me, Lord, I'll do that. And of course, how many know he helps us? He helps you, amen. If we ask for help, help me, Lord, he'll help you, won't he? Amen. Anybody ever have that? Got to get the Lord's help on it. Lord, I'm willing, but my flesh is weak. I need some help. And he brings grace to help. Amen. But we don't have to harden our heart. You know, if you don't harden your heart with God, he'll walk with you. He'll stay with you. He'll walk through hell and back with you. He doesn't care. But once we harden our heart, we say, hey, God's okay, you know, this is just a sin, God's all right with that, then we got a problem. Because God no longer has anything to work with. And we have to be careful. Because we could be turned over to a reprobate mind. Not that God wouldn't take us back, but we may not want to go back. And we could lose many of the blessings of God. may even lose our soul if we're not careful. Hallelujah. Romans 8:14 says that for as many as are what? Led. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, our favorite chapter over here in Romans. We need to do some more teaching out of there probably. But Romans 8:14. Hallelujah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, really, he's seeing here our new nature, the nature that Christ, that God gave us when Jesus was, when we were born again, when we were born from above. We can live according to that nature. See, that nature has within it the purpose of God. God, the Bible says he writes his laws, what? In our heart, doesn't he? He writes it on the tablet of our heart. It's no longer on the tablet of stone, but on the tablet of flesh, a fleshly heart. And we inerrantly, on the inside, we begin to know right and wrong. We understand. We can begin to realize our heart will convict us. And I've had things happen before. I don't know about you, but oh, I shouldn't do that. And then I found out later, I read it in the Bible and found out it was wrong. Oh, that's wrong. Okay. That's why I sensed not to do that. It was already written in my heart. And we see that, you know, also in Romans over in chapter 2. That's part of the, really the conscience of man. But here over in chapter 2, that God is no, let's look here a minute in chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, start in verse 11 and read down a little bit here through 15 or 16. It says, for there is no respect of persons with God, for as many have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things that were contained in the law, these having a law, the law, are a law to themselves. Having not the law, they are a law unto themselves. In other words, it was, which show the works of the law written in their hearts. So they were already doing the law even though they didn't have it. They were keeping God's law. Basically, the Ten Commandments is basically what it's referring to. Primarily, that's the law of God, isn't it? Have no other gods before you. Don't covet. They weren't stealing. They weren't lying against one another. Their heart, their conscience would bear also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. In other words, it was saying, this is right and that is wrong. Their own heart was telling them, because the law was already written there and it was part of the voice of God. That is our conscience. It's one of the first things that takes place when we get born again. It's the first thing that begins to speak to us. And sometimes even before we get born again. How many know? Your mother, you know, your conscience bothers you. You know, your mother told you not to steal that candy bar, but you could not resist yourself. You had to take something. Maybe it wasn't a candy bar, but maybe it was a piece of gum, you know, or something small. And you did it anyway, or you took the cookie out of the cookie jar. Of course, Mom, somehow she already knows. She sees, she's got eyes behind her head. And besides that, God might tell her. You know, if you don't fess up, she already knows you took the cookie, you know. Of course, you got crumbs all over anyway, but you know, no, I didn't. I didn't put my hand in there. No. Anyway, but our conscience begins to tell us right and wrong. We know it's not right. You know, you can't keep doing all the things we did before. I didn't keep, you know, maybe I did slip and cuss, but I knew, oh, my heart convicted me. I need to stop that. Or if we see something in our life, isn't that beautiful how God writes that in our heart? And we begin to know from day one, as soon as we get born again, we begin to understand right and wrong, and we realize, wow, God's working with us. And that is one of the great ways that God does speak to us, down on the inside. You know, I just want us to know, did you know the voice of your conscience is enough? That is the voice of God. God is speaking to you. And sometimes that's all we get. So yeah, but that takes a little more faith. Lord, I'd like to hear your booming voice out of heaven. Would you please? Could you just write it in the sky one time for me, Jesus? You know, be nice. You know, but most of the time he doesn't, does he? Why? He's wanting us to walk with him. Yes, we can make sure. Yes, we can ask questions. Yes, we can talk to him about it. But deep down, sometimes we already know. And once we know, sometimes he becomes silent. He doesn't say it again. I got a friend of mine right now. God called him. God called him. And he knew it. And he was getting ready to leave on a mission a certain day, and he got sick. Went to the hospital. He didn't know what to do. They said, you can't go anywhere. You know, he had some kind of a brain aneurysm or something. And this is not looking good. And but he prayed about it. He'd say, now, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he just silence, absolute silence. But down in his heart, you know, you just kind of already know. God's already spoke to me. I prayed about this a lot, you know, and God's already spoke to me. I know I'm supposed to do this. And so he said, I had to make a decision. And he decided in his heart, he said, I'd rather be in the will of God and die than be right here in this hospital and die. And he had to make a decision. He says, you know what? I'm going. I'm just going to make my decision and go. He said, Lord, if I die, I die. But I know one thing. I'm going in the will of God. If anything happens to me, he said, I'm at least, if I can't go, I'm at least going to fall in that direction, Lord. But I'm going to follow the voice of my master. Because I love you, Lord. And you know it. Today, he's 83 years old. He said, I still have an aneurysm, but at any time the doctors told him it could explode. He said, but it didn't. I'm still alive. So far, God's allowed me to live. But by the grace of God, he said, there go I. I'm going to follow my master. And so his voice can be, you know, once we know, sometimes he doesn't bring a confirmation to you. Sometimes deep in your heart, you know he's not going to. He's already spoken. He knows you got it. You know you got it. What more do we need? Not that he won't continue to draw us. Not that he won't make it clear. He will. But once we got it, what more do we need? Amen. Hallelujah. So I just want to say that because sometimes that inner witness, that's enough. That's enough. You know, sometimes in our, you know, when we're younger in the Lord, he might confirm things to us more. But he'll make it clear to you. He'll confirm it. If you got the word of God on it, it's, you know, I mean, let me just say this. You know, if you miss God and you get some people saved and filled with the Holy Spirit or healed or helped, he'll forgive you. If you missed it and you helped all these people, God will forgive you. It'll be all right. He'll find you. We need to not worry about missing God as much as we do about following him. I think there's more that God has spoken to us that we hadn't yet accomplished or we hadn't been doing that we need to be more concerned about than what it is about missing God. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, if you go, you know, seriously, I mean, if you come to me, hey, I think God's leading me to go here or there, and you go, and you get some people saved, and they get saved and filled with the Spirit and all that, say, well, maybe I missed God, did you? Well, sometimes we can make a mistake and still have some result, and God will forgive us. He'll help you get back on track. He'll find you. I remember God told me that one time. He says, Lord, I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss it. He says, if you miss it, I'll find you. I'll find you. I said, okay. All right, Lord, you'll find me. You know, and He knows how to get us on the right track. The Holy Spirit, if you keep praying in tongues, you will know. You will gain. It'll grow in you like a tree. It'll get stronger and stronger. You'll know where you need to be. You'll begin to get those desires on the inside. It's not something that's going to just die out. God's not going to give you something that you hate. He just, you know, everybody says, well, I don't know. I mean, used to be Africa, you know. It was deep, dark Africa. Yeah. Oh, I hope God never sends me to Africa. I don't, you know. But if He did send you to Africa, the desire is going to grow on the inside of you. You're going to go with joy. You're going to go in peace. He said, let the peace of God what be our umpire continually. We can allow the peace of God to guide us, to lead us. That's that inner witness on the inside. I'm not talking about peace because you quit fighting on a struggle. You know? That's just, you're just at peace because you quit fighting. You know, you quit resisting. So, well, just whatever will be, will be. But when we stand and we got the peace of God. Ah, yes, that velvety feeling that comes sometimes down on the inside. It may be a feeling, but I'm talking about a sense. It's almost like you could touch it. That's like velvet in there. That's Him. That's Him on the inside. Of course, we got the Word of God. That's our number one. We've already talked about that before, haven't we? The number one way God's speaking to us is right here. I mean, my goodness, if we'll get busy doing what He said right here, it's not going to be hard to hear His voice, I promise you. He's going to be using you and using you and using you until you ain't got no time left other than seeking Him and being used by Him. Because He's going to come and make His glory known in this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. You're a son and daughter of God. Hallelujah. All right, 1 Corinthians 2:12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Are you seeing here something tonight? We can hear. We do hear His voice. His voice is clear. Now there's some things we need to remember, not to harden our heart, right? To open the door when He does not. How many remember Samuel in the Old Testament? Little Samuel, right? Mama brings Samuel to the priest. He's 3 years old. He's growing up there. At that time, I think he was somewhere around 8, maybe. And he hears the voice of God, and he runs over to Eli, who's the kind of the backslidden priest. He's half-hearted. Eli, did you call me? No, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. You know, I didn't call your name. And he hears it again. He goes to sleep, and he hears his name. Samuel, Samuel. And he runs to Eli. Have you called me? Eli, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. You know, and finally, after the third time, it dawns on Eli, you know. Oh, the Lord's calling His name. You need to say, yes, Lord, this is Your servant. I'm listening. You know, and he tells him what to, you know, that it's the Lord that's calling him. And he realizes, and he begins to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, under the old covenant, the prophets heard God. The prophets gave direction. Prophets, priests, the kings, they heard from God. The rest of the people had to go to them, but how many know we hear from heaven now? Because we are His priests unto the Lord. You've been made a priest to Him. You are His son. You're a part of the family. His voice is clear every day, all the time. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Is that where I said? Yeah. 2 Corinthians, I got to go there myself here. 2 Corinthians 2:12 says, furthermore, when I came to Trophimus to preach Christ's gospel, First Corinthians 2:12. Make me sound good on there, will you, Joseph? When they get the recording, 2:12. 1 Corinthians 2:12 said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now here he's talking about our reborn spirit. We didn't receive the spirit of the world, but we received what? A spirit that is now alive to God. And we can freely, he's right here, he said, freely given to us. We might know the things that are freely given to us by of God. Now, how many know down here? Sometimes we call it our knower. How do you know I know that I know? How do you know? Because my knower is telling me, my spirit is speaking to me. I know the things that have been freely given to me of God. Hallelujah. Because see, before you're born again, you really can't know God. You don't really know Him. You can hear Him and you can know about God and you can, you know, have ideas about Him, and people have all kinds of ideas of what we're doing in here tonight, probably. Hallelujah. Oh, those are they're those Pentecostals. They're probably rolling on the floor tonight. Praise the Lord. We could, but praise the Lord. We're rolling in the Word of God. We're reveling in His truth. And when we receive that fresh spirit, then now we can be taught by Him. We can hear His voice and we can know Him. Amen. Glory to God. In every circumstance of life, we can know what to do. Sometimes we don't know what to do, but we can come to know what to do. The Holy Spirit always brings the counsel of Jesus to us because He's our shepherd. And He speaks of what He hears from Jesus and declares it unto us. Amen. We're not an orphan who has to find his own way. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. How many believe that? Are you getting some faith tonight? You can hear Him. You hear from Him. No problem ever takes Jesus by surprise. He knew about it before we did. And He always has the answer. The Holy Spirit always brings the answer when we take time to listen. And we don't have to fear. We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I have no reason to fear. He is my helper. Amen. We have confidence in Him and we have confidence that we can know Him. Well, Mark 9:23, Jesus said something here. That if we can, that all things are possible if we can believe. Amen. How many believe? Mark 9:23. I know we're kind of in a big Bible study tonight. We got a lot of scriptures, but how many know it's good to hear the Word of God? How many's faith is getting up? You can hear from Him. You can believe Him. Amen. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth. Are you a believer? Amen. I am a believer. Then you can say, I'm a believer. All things are possible to me. All things are possible to me. I can hear the voice of God and I can have His direction. It can be clear to me. Amen. He said if we would have a little faith. Amen. Matthew 17:20. We'll read a few more verses here. Matthew 17:20. Matthew 17:20 says, if you have faith. Well, he says here, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, they couldn't cast out this devil because of the unbelief in their heart. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith, what is a grain of mustard seed? You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. If we have faith like a mustard seed, which means that seed is what is planted on the inside of us. See, the Bible says the Word of God is the seed. And when the Word of God is planted in our heart, it's going to grow. Because we think we get seeds that produce fruit. But really, we get seeds that produce trees that produce fruit. See, there isn't an orange seed or an apple seed. There is an apple tree seed, right? And that apple tree grows from that seed and then produces what? Ultimately, it produces apples. Now, it may not happen the first or second year. You get out there. Have you ever eaten an apple off one of those small trees? You know, they're like that big. I tried one of those apples, waiting for those apples to grow. Oh, thinking, you know, you get you a juicy apple and you take a bite and it's so bitter you can hardly stand it. Oh, it sends chills down your spine and you're like, wow, whoo, that's bitter. But a few years later, how many knows what happens? That apple grows, it gets a little bigger, and the sweetness, why? It had to mature. You see, we receive the seed of God in our heart and it grows. It has to mature in us to produce that sweetness of the fruit. It may not happen the first year, but over time, it doesn't matter what's going on in our life. If we can take the Word of God, we can change anything in our heart, and we can end up having that same fruit that God placed in there from the beginning. We can have the love of God. We can have the peace of God. We can have the kindness of God in us. So, I don't know. Sometimes I'm not too kind. Well, kindness can come. It's part of the fruit of your reborn spirit. And as we meditate on the Word of God, kindness can grow. Because seeds grow trees, which produce fruit. And you become a tree where men can eat from the branches of your kindness. Amen. They can come and partake of kindness from you and love from you and peace from you. And they can receive faith from you and joy from you and patience. Say, man, there's just something about you. I always see patience. Why? Because you have grown by partaking of the Word of God and letting the seed continue to mature. And all things can become possible to us. Hallelujah. Well, we've got to use our faith even in hearing from God, don't we? Mark 11:24, we know that verse, don't we? We've preached it here quite a few times, but Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now sometimes we ask for direction, but we don't believe we receive it. The reason I say that, a lot of people ask for prayer for direction many, many times. It's one of the most requested prayers, I think, in the body of Christ. Oh, would you pray I get direction? Well, it would help God out a lot if you open the Bible some. Amen. That was good. That was an amen right there. You know, it would help the Holy Spirit if we open our Bible. Many times he's trying to speak to us, but we don't take time to fellowship with him, or we get so busy. I think it was somebody put on the out this morning that I read there that, you know, the anyway, sometimes getting before God, we've got to become silent. We've got to close our mouth long enough to listen. And it's not that God wasn't speaking, but we were not listening. We didn't open our heart. We hadn't opened up to him. He said, don't harden our heart or don't close it. We hadn't opened the door, in other words. He came knocking, but we didn't open that door. You know, when we fill ourselves with the Word of God, it sure helps the Holy Spirit a lot more to make his word clear to us. It's not that he can't give it to us or he won't, but it may take us a little while before we receive it. Amen. You know, I mean, now when we're babies and so forth, other times he might tell you, listen, you know, down in your heart, read the Word of God. You know, get the Word out. Begin to fellowship with Him. Let it minister to us. Let Him speak to us. And sometimes He's speaking to us about other things, and suddenly we know what to do in another situation that we'd been asking about all along. And we're like, wow, how did I get that from being here? Because we had the door open. We had the communication going. The channels were open and we got tuned to the right frequency. See, just hearing from God is partly us believing that He does hear us, and that He's our Father, and that He loves us. And when we're in communion with Him, we're opening by faith, we're opening our heart. Lord, I love You. I know that You're wanting to talk to me today. Maybe my emotions don't feel like it today, but sometimes we got to make ourselves do some things. You know, I mean, I'm a pastor, and sometimes I don't feel like opening my Bible today. Maybe I didn't feel like reading it this morning. It's early, Lord. I'd rather just sit here and pray in the Spirit a little while. I don't feel like reading. But I make myself read something, because this is feeding my spirit. This is the sure Word of God that He's already given me. Hallelujah. And He'll bring that direction. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can say there, you know, He says, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that we receive them, we shall have them. I always get what I pray for. We could say that. Lord, I get what I pray for, because I believe. When I believe, I receive. Hallelujah. Every time. Every prayer of ours can be answered. Because I'm praying according to what He said. And I'm trusting what God has said. Hallelujah. Luke 10:19. A few more scriptures here. Did I already say that? Luke 10:19. What does that mean? Nothing. Luke 10:19. It does mean something. I don't have a lot left here, But I want us to see clearly what the Word of God opened. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So God's not going to lead us in a way that's going to harm us, because He's given us all authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I remember when I was in my missions class, and our missions teacher, it was just a small one mission class, but part of our schooling, and we had to take a missions class. And he would stand there, and this is a scripture, he would get that out, and he said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And he'd have this fly swatter, and he'd hit that Bible and hit the desk a few times, and he'd say it again. I want you to know there's nothing that will hurt you when we put our trust in God. He's not going to lead you to be hurt. He's not going to let it happen if you'll believe Him and trust Him. You know, because sometimes when you get in some of these places, you know, you could be hurt, especially when you go to foreign countries and you don't know all the laws and you don't know all the rules. You have to be very careful and be on your guard to some degree. But He will take care of you. The enemy's not going to destroy us. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Philippians 4:13, we already read that once, but I'll say it again. I'll quote it, I guess. Well, let's read it. Philippians 4:13. Now here, when you really look at this in context, Paul was saying, I've learned how to be content and I've learned how to abound. Nevertheless, whether I have enough or I don't, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now I'm not saying it doesn't apply to other things, but amen. But sometimes, how many know? You know, we can look at our bank account and say, no, I don't know if I can do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what he said. So we can do that. Because the anointed one lives in us. Amen. Jesus is the anointed one. He lives in us and with us. And his anointing strengthens us. And we're strong in the strength of Jesus and not of ourselves. The Bible didn't say be strong in you, right? It said be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Glory to God. I'm sure glad he did. I don't know about you. And, you know, and we can take comfort and we can know. He is our good shepherd. Amen. He is the one that shepherds us. And if you're not sure he's the good shepherd, you can read Psalm 23. How many know what Psalm 23 says? I think I'll read it real quick, just because I want to hear it. It's not very long, so I'll read it. But it says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's the word of God. That's him speaking to me. He's going to comfort us along the way. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. How many believe you can hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? Amen. You can walk with him. We can know him, we can trust him, and we can see that he's going to lead us in paths of righteousness. He's going to lead us beside the still water. It's not going to be something that's so hard we can't do, but he'll come with us and add his strength and cause us to overcome every time. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. We're going to hear his voice, and we're going to follow. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you're encouraged with the word of God tonight. I sure was. Boy, I'm getting stronger. Hallelujah. Woo, I can feel it building in me. Amen. How many know faith comes when we hear the word of God? And we can walk with him. Isn't that awesome? We can know his voice and the voice of a stranger. We don't have to follow. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word that it will permeate deep into our heart, Lord. We'll let it settle there, Lord. We'll bury it there. Oh, Father, we thank you that we will hide it in our heart. We'll hold your word dear, Father, in all the words that you have spoken to us. And when you speak to us, Lord, when we ask of you, we know that we can hear your voice and we can follow you, and that you will cause us to prosper. You will cause our way to prosper, Lord God, and that you will lead us in the paths of righteousness. You will lead us by those still waters, Father. You will cause us to always overcome. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.